Welcome to the Legacy Leaders Podcast. Are you doing the best for your client to help them create their legacy? Are you creating a plan that goes far beyond finances to help people ensure that it becomes the driving force behind all decisions? On this podcast, hosts Katie Beth Hand and Stan Miller will help you with growing your practice and your clients' peace of mind. Together, they bring the best and brightest minds to share with you how to help your clients develop their best legacy. And now, here are your hosts, Katie Beth and Stan.
Hello, and welcome to the Legacy Leaders Podcast. I'm your guest host today, attorney Adam Diamond, sitting in for Stan and Katie Beth. I'm a proud member of the Legacy Leader Network, which is a group of professionals focused on helping families pass on a lasting legacy. I'm the owner of Diamond Legal in Northern Illinois. Diamond Legal is your family's law firm where your future is our focus. We help with things like divorce, custody, wills, trust, and real estate closings. Today, I'm really excited about our guest. It is video marketing expert, Benjamin DeLauder. Did I say it right, Ben?
Yes, sir.
With Blue Eyed Visuals. Ben, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Adam.
Ben, how did you choose video marketing as your career focus?
Yeah. So growing up, I always had an interest in photography. Anytime I would see a photo that was good, I'd be able to recognize it and see like aspects about it that I thought were interesting. So that was something that had always interested me, but I never really pursued it. And then after I'd become an adult and I was like looking for different career opportunities, I was like, with my personality, I have to get into something that I enjoy and something I'm interested in and want to continue learning. And for me, that was photography. So I dove very deep into it. I watched a lot of YouTube videos and purchased some courses from people who do it full time, and just went all in and very quickly started building my business in that. I actually started in weddings, as a lot of people do when it comes to photography and video. And during that process, I actually had somebody ask me if I could film a video for their wedding. And I was like, I do photos, but I'm sure I could figure it out. So being me, I dove very deep into research on like, how is video different than photos, da, da, da. And I went through that whole process. And then once I did it, I was like, this is awesome, because it's not just capturing a moment in time. Like you have motion and you have the emotion from the music and from people's voices. And I felt like I was able to create so much more with that than I was able to do with photography. And that's what really sold me on it at first. And then I would always tag my vendors anytime I did any wedding videos. And I had a time where a bridal shop reached out to me because I had tagged them. They had done the dress for a wedding that I had shot. And they're like, hey, we love the wedding video you did for so-and-so. Do you do videos for businesses? And I was like, Yeah, I do videos for business. So I got to talking with them and learned what they wanted and created a video for them. And it was cool because it was this small family-owned bridal shop. And about 3 months after I gave them the video, they reached back out to me and they were like, hey, we have girls all the time coming in and being like, we saw your video on Instagram and we had to come check you out. And I was like, that's awesome that something that I created that I enjoyed creating is helping this small business grow. And that was just the selling point for me to just continue on working with businesses.
Wow. So tell me a little bit more about Blue Eyed Visuals. What do you do and who do you help?
Yeah. So we help small and medium-sized businesses reach their ideal clients through video marketing. So the point of a video isn't just to look pretty. A lot of people, like, they want a good-looking video, which is good, and it helps you look professional. But it's one thing to just have a really good-looking video. It's another thing entirely to have a video that accomplishes something. So we always make sure that when we speak with our potential clients, we have an idea in mind of what is it that they are trying to achieve. Are they trying to just increase brand awareness? Are they trying to increase revenue? Are they trying to save time in some area of their business? And we get to learn about what they're doing in their business currently, what they're doing for marketing, and how we can use video marketing to help them. We then develop a plan with this business in terms of here's the types of videos that you can use. We then produce those videos for them. And then afterwards, we help them implement the videos into their business to make sure that they're actually getting the most out of them.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about the implementation part, because I don't hear that from a lot of people that do what you do.
Yeah, that's something that separates us for sure. So when I had first started, like I said, I was just shooting videos for businesses. It was, hey, we want this type of video. Can you shoot that for us? I'd shoot it, give it to them, whatever. I noticed a lot of times I'd tell them, hey, you could do this and this with it, and they wouldn't do it. I'd be like, they didn't put it on their website. They weren't putting it on their social medias. They weren't running an ad that I had created for them. And I was like, you spent this time and money creating this thing so that it could benefit you in this way. And this is how you're supposed to use it, but you're not using it that way. And I realized it also reflects poorly on me If it's I created them something and now it's not working for them, when the reason it's not working for them is because they didn't implement it. So I've created that as being part of our process is we don't just create the videos, but we help the company implement the videos because then they can just focus on what they're doing. I don't want to create extra work for them by creating a video and then being like, all right, figure out what to do with it. I want to be able to guide them and help them be able to utilize it so that they can get the most out of it. In terms of the extent of the implementation process, it depends on the business that we're working with, what companies they already work with. Like they might already have a marketing company that could do that for them. If they don't, then that could be an extra service that we offer as well. But I want to make sure that the videos are utilized and not just sitting on a hard drive somewhere not being used, because then what's the point?
And no, and so at the start, you're working with the business owner in a lot of cases to understand what's the why behind, why are they creating it, and then make sure you have an implementation plan. So it sounds like, to summarize, you do play nice with others if they have an existing marketing team.
Yes, absolutely.
But if someone doesn't have anything, they're in hustle market sell as a business owner, you can help them come up with some easy steps to utilize and implement the stuff you do. Is that right?
Yes, and like you said, that's part of the initial conversation in terms of the what is the why for the video? Because again, a lot of companies they just know that they need video because it's such a prevalent thing now where it's like you need video for your business. But a lot of people are just going out and hiring somebody to make a video for them because they know they need video, but they don't have an idea of what am I going to do with this and what is it going to accomplish? But all that goes into the video creation process. I can't create a video for someone speaking to their target clients if I don't know who their target clients are, or I can't make a video for them that's going to help them train employees in a certain aspect of their business if I'm not really sure what they even do. So a big part of that initial conversation is figuring out what is it that they are doing for the business? What are they trying to achieve? And how can we use video to get them there as opposed to let's make a nice looking video.
So what are the different ways you shoot video? Is it always on site? Is it remote? Or how does that typically work?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it depends on the client. Typically on-site is what we do. We could go to the point of renting a space and hiring actors and doing all that. We don't do that as often because a lot of the types of videos we create, we want to showcase the personality and the reality of a business. So a lot of it is us going on-site to where they are. We work with a lot of home construction type companies. So whether it be construction companies, roofing companies, things like that, home remodeling companies. So a lot of times what we will do is we'll shoot interviews of the owner or some employees or whatever. If they have a showroom, we'd shoot it there. Or if they have an office space, we'd shoot it there. Them in their elements, which does multiple things. One, it represents them in their element. Also, it helps them to feel comfortable during the interview process. That's a big portion for us. Any video that we're doing that we are shooting an interview, the main goal is to have the person come across like you're just having a conversation with them. I don't want them to come across as salesy or like they're just trying to sell whoever's watching the video, because you're going to feel that. If you're watching a video and you feel like you're just being sold to, it gives you this feeling of, I don't want this thing. But if you can feel the authenticity of, here's this real person that got into this business for a real reason, and like I can connect with that reason. So a big reason that we do the way we do when it comes to interviews is to make people feel as comfortable as possible so that across camera, people can feel that. They can feel that authenticity and they don't feel like they're just being sold to. So a lot of that, the initial, let's say we shoot an interview, we'll do that at their office space or their showroom or whatever it is that they have. And then we'll shoot a lot of B-roll, which is extra footage to go over it. Nobody wants to watch like a, I don't know, minute to 2 minute video of someone just sitting there talking. You have to have context to what it is that they're saying. So let's say it is a remodeling company. We'd then shoot part of a remodeling process. Maybe we'd shoot some before shots of what a space looks like. And then we'd show them tearing stuff out, tearing out cabinets, breaking up floor and stuff. And then you see them putting in the new stuff. And then you see a quick, here's the before and here's the after. It gives context to what they're saying. You get to understand what they do, not just from what they're saying, but visually as well. So those are some of the main types of videos that we create. It can differ per business, but a lot of what we do is on site with the business, showcasing what they actually do.
Wow, that's got to be really powerful to hear both the owner's voice and to see those types of things. Do you have a specific geographic area you focus on helping clients in?
Yeah, we aren't limited necessarily geographically in terms of if the budget calls for it, we would be able to fly out and do something somewhere else. Typically, our clients are local, which would be anywhere in the Chicagoland area. We have a couple of clients that we work with very consistently who are in like Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. So even as far as that, but a lot of them are even just close, like the Algonquin, Crystal Lake, Elgin areas, of our main bread and butter.
Perfect. So you talked a little bit about your journey getting into video marketing. So did you have any influences that inspired you to go this direction with your career?
Yeah, I would actually say my dad, in a way. My dad's not a photographer or a videographer. He did take a lot of videos of us growing up, which is cool. And being able to see, go back and watch videos of like me as like a 1-year-old, and then even comparing that to my son now and seeing like how we have similarities is so cool. So like he had that initial aspect. I think that type of stuff is what was almost even the initial influence for me getting into video, being able to go back and see videos like that and see how cool that is. Because a lot of times we don't really think about how awesome video is. Like we're literally capturing a moment in time that is not going to happen again, but we can relive it as if it has later on. And then the way you can utilize that for business, but even just your family, being able to, my wife always tells me I don't record our kids. I'm like, I do it for a job. It's hard to do at home as well, but it's so cool to see, be able to even just utilize it, even just on your phones. Like nothing, not everything has to be professional. I even suggest for businesses, like if you don't have any video and you can't afford a professional videographer right now, shoot stuff yourself. It's better that you have video and you have those moments and you have those ways of portraying yourself out there in general. And then if you can afford the more professional stuff later, then do it. But having something to that capacity, like there's no downside to it. So yeah, I would say that was my initial thought process. But then also the fact that, again, like I said, I'm someone who, if I'm passionate about something, I'm like all in on it. And I was like, I know that whatever I go into as a career has to be something that I enjoy. And I know that my dad did that as well. Like what my dad's a computer programmer and he loves it. He's all about it. He's like, I get to create this stuff. And he tried to get, so I'm actually one of 12 kids. I don't
Oh,
know if I
wow.
mentioned that. Yeah. And a large portion of us, he tried to get us to become programmers because he's, this is an amazing job that you'd really love and it makes good money. And I love it and blah, blah, blah. So it's, I think I was one of 4 kids that actually tried it and it just wasn't for me. But I got to see his passion for, he likes creating stuff in this way. I like creating stuff in the sense of video. So it helps me in deciding, here's something that I'm passionate about and that I want to pursue and that I want to learn more of and that I'll enjoy doing. And it's been great.
Wow, that is definitely an influence to say the least. From computer programming to video marketing, although I could see that, and I could see how you appreciate connecting things, having that background, and having seen how the sausage is made, so to speak. So, what do you enjoy most about video marketing?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I would say learning about different businesses and industries and meeting new people. I grew up a very shy person. I hated meeting new people or talking to people that I didn't know. Like it just was awkward and uncomfortable for me pretty much my entire life. And then after I graduated high school, I got a job where I had a new job every day, basically. I was going to different places, meeting and working with new people. And from that experience, I learned I like people. I actually do enjoy meeting and talking to and working with new people. And that's translated over into my business of I've always liked learning new things. So not only do I like meeting the people and engaging and working with people, but I've always enjoyed learning about new stuff. Like when it comes to video, I initially learned how to do photography. And then from there, I learned, okay, how do I do video and create that in a good way? And then I learned, okay, how do I utilize video to market a business? And on top of all this, I'm learning how do I run my own business? And from this, I'm learning all these different skills and abilities. And that's something that I really like. So being able to go into a business and learn about what is it that they do and what do they specialize in and how does this work? And like I said, I've done a lot of work for roofers. Like the way they go about it is so much different than I ever would have imagined, but it's really cool to see. And I get to document that process. And not only am I giving something that they can use to market themselves, but like I get to witness and be a part of these different industries and the way they operate. And I would say that's actually been the most exciting part for me.
Yeah, getting a worldly perspective on everything. Plus, if you have a leaky roof, you got a few friends.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, what do you enjoy least about video marketing?
That's a good question. I would largely say overall, probably the editing process. It's this weird thing of because I'm such a perfectionist, I like have ideas of what I want to create and I start creating it and then things aren't working out. So then I get discouraged and then I actually do make it happen. And that's really exciting. And usually ends on a good note to where I'm like, I really am proud of what I created and my clients are always happy with what I create. But that kind of initial process from going from here's my vision to the logistical aspect of working on it, sometimes it just gets difficult for me, which is why right now I'm actually in the process of working with editors. And it's been a really humbling experience for me because I'm like, I'm not the best editor in the world. I've done very well, But with it not being my focus and my main thing and the thing I'm most interested in, I don't always pursue it as much as I do other aspects of business, like connecting with people and being able to learn about their business and market them well. That's where my strength is, learning about businesses and being able to present their message to the world. And if I could have someone who's even better than me to edit my videos so that they're the best that they could possibly be, that's what I'm doing right now.
Because you have the clear vision and you found a way to keep yourself in your zone of genius, which is connecting this business or this person who's helping other people and showing the world. And so,
Yeah.
yes, the endless hours of B-roll that probably has some drains on sanity.
Yeah, a
So
little bit, especially when you have tons and tons of
the
projects going at the same time.
What are some of your favorite things or people to take videos of?
That's a good question. Like I said, we've niched down a bit. So we work with all kinds of businesses, but I would say the main types of businesses that we work with are home renovation type companies. Part of the reason for that is I've always loved before and after pictures and now before and after video. Being able to see what something looked like and then having a vision for what it could look like. But then not just having that vision, but seeing that process of this thing getting transformed and then here's the after of what it has become is so cool to witness on video. And you can witness it very quickly. Like it's a long process. Some remodeling projects take months, and then you can watch a 1 minute video of here's this ugly space that's 20 years outdated, and then here's it being transformed, and here's this amazing, beautiful, modern thing. And being able to see that process and be part of creating that has been very cool. So I would say any sort of remodeling type companies or any sort of something where you can visually see an obvious before and after is probably my favorite type of thing to shoot. And then obviously pictures and videos of
Well,
my
I definitely understand that. So, do you have any funny stories or experiences as a video maker?
children. That's a good question. Yeah, so it's a running joke in the video world of you finish a project and then you finish recording something. And it's like this awesome interview or something, and then you look and you're like, oh no, I forgot to press record. And I've always been terrified of that. So anyone who works with me will know when I'm doing setup, I check everything a million times. So like I have a bunch of safety features on things and stuff to make sure that things are recorded. That everything's recorded in multiple places, in multiple ways to make sure that even if a file gets corrupted, like I still have a good version of it and stuff like that. But I'm still just so particular about it. And I will literally check my cameras like 10 times before we actually start an interview to make sure that they're recording, because that just I've heard that happen to so many people. But I have used it as a joke with multiple clients, especially the clients that are a little concerned about something not going well, which I don't know if that's the best idea, but then afterwards they'll be like, oh no, I forgot to hit record. And just the look on their face as their face drops to like, oh no, how did that? And then I tell them, I'm just kidding. It's
Oh,
just
wait a second, Ben. I forgot to hit record. Can we start over? Okay. Oh.
that would have been great. Yeah, let's just
That
start over. Why not?
it's one of the biggest fears that keeps you up at night. So you use it as an icebreaker.
Yeah, exactly. Hasn't happened to me yet and hope it never will, but that is always a concern of mine.
That is a great reason as a business owner to always have a checklist. No, I'm kidding. So in the
No kidding.
Legacy Leaders Network, we talk a lot about family legacy. How do you think videos help preserve a family legacy?
Yeah, that's a great question. As I said, one of my initial reasons for wanting to get into it was seeing footage of myself and my siblings when we were young and being able to witness that. Because like you only remember so much about when you were a kid. And what I've discovered is even your parents only remember so much. Oh, you used to do, or maybe that was them that did this, or I don't really remember. How old were you? 4, 10, I don't know. So it's cool because again, with video, you're getting to capture a specific moment in time that you get to view later. And again, with families, I would just highly recommend anyone, and I know a lot of people do, like we got these phones that take incredible photos and videos, like just take photos and videos of your family, of your kids, of your parents and grandparents, because they're not going to be around forever. And being able to have that stuff continually and forever. And now even like there are even services of if you have old stuff that like your parents took that are on CDs, which are so dated now, or even further back, like if you got things on cassettes or VHS players or anything like that, there are actually services that can convert that stuff to
The
digital
old
files for you
slides
so that
with the
you can look at
carousel that goes around.
it. Yeah, but like any of that old stuff can be converted now into digital files that you could still have to this day. And that's just a really cool thing. Like even just thinking about my grandkids or great grandkids being able to see pictures of their parents and grandparents and stuff when they're older is just, it's such a cool concept to me.
Yeah. Now, if people want to preserve or store their family videos, do you have any recommendations or tips?
Yes. So my wife likes to take an incredible amount of photos of our children. So I think she has, I'm not even exaggerating. So my son is 2.5 and my daughter's 10 months old. And she has, I think, close to 40,000 photos of them. That's
So
a
few
lot.
here and there.
Yeah, right. Hard to keep organized or to, the main thing is the data. That's so much data. And what she was doing for a while, because she was terrified of losing them, was she would take these photos from her phone and then she'd move them to her computer and then from her computer to a hard drive. But then she started getting concerned, okay, what if I lose this hard drive or it gets corrupted? So then she's also transferring it from that hard drive to another hard drive. It was this huge stressful process for her. Then she's running out of space on her phone and she's like, I can't take new pictures of her kids because I need to keep up with this. And it's just a whole thing. And I was like, use cloud storage. Is there some possibility that Apple will screw up and lose all your stuff? I guess maybe, but then do both. Do but with cloud storage, you're able, not just Apple. I use an Android. I'm very anti-Apple for all you Apple people out there. But my wife is not. We make it work somehow. Both Google and Apple have really cool ways of doing cloud storage to where you take a photo and within seconds or minutes, it's uploaded onto a cloud. You don't have to worry about if it gets deleted off your phone, it's somewhere else. You can access it from your computer or from anywhere else. Honestly, you can access it from somebody else's computer if you log in or whatever. Cloud storage is just a great way of being able to save that stuff and make sure it's accessible from anywhere, but also saved in a place where you're not having to worry about it accidentally getting deleted or anything like that. So I'd highly recommend that people use cloud storage. It's changed our life.
Don't fear the cloud.
Yeah, 100%. And
Embrace
if
the
you want to
cloud.
also store physically, then do that as well. But it's the most convenient and quickest way to make sure like your stuff is also getting put in a different place other than where you just took it. So
Great tip. Now, if people want to take better videos, what would some key pieces of advice be for people that are DIYing it or doing it themselves?
yes. So the number one thing that makes that people drop off a video for is bad audio. So if you're trying to create videos, whether it's for your business or something else, and you want it to be viewed, audio is the most important thing. Now, if you're just taking videos of your family or whatever, that's one thing. If you're trying to create a professional business video, like you can buy lavalier mics. That's one that clips onto you that you can then run into your phone for very cheap, like $30 or something like that. Even that will substantially increase the audio quality versus just your phone speaker. So I'd say that's tip number one. The second thing, in terms of visuals, the number one thing that makes video or photo look good is proper lighting. There is so much conceptually in terms of what kind of lighting and what type of situation, what type of mood you're trying to create and stuff like that. If you're not trying to become a videographer or photographer, you don't need to learn all that. I would say the main tips are if you are shooting anywhere, have a light that's about 45 degree angle. That's what I got right here. I have a light right next to my face. I'm in a dark room. Have a light about 45 degree angle to your face, something that's soft, whether it's a window or if you can buy little soft boxes for 30, $40 if you're trying to up what your zoom looks like or whatever. Those are some simple tips. If you're taking photos outside, the absolute worst time is midday. If you want to take photo or video outside, the best time is either around sunrise or around sunset. And you'll find even just with your regular phone photos, they will look 1,000 times better if you take them around sunrise or sunset versus if you take them midday. So those are
That's
just kind
really
of simple.
interesting. Now, why is that? Other than getting really cool sunrise or sunset pictures.
Yeah, no, it's the angle of the lighting. So if you're talking about noon, the sun's directly above us. There's down lighting. It creates shadow on your face. It will create like dark circles under your eyes. It's really unflattering. It's usually really harsh lighting too. So the shadows are really dramatic. Phones don't do a good job with that. Cameras do a little better, but even then, it's you can only do so much with editing. But yeah, when it comes to sunrise or sunset, there's a combination of the light is a little softer, so it's those shadows on your face are going to look nicer. The color's typically nicer. It's usually like a more warm light versus like just straight bright white light. And then again, the angle, like when I was talking about, if you have artificial light, you want it coming from an angle. Same sort of thing with the sun being on an angle in the sky versus coming straight down, so that the shadows aren't coming directly down, but they're coming across your face. It looks much better.
Fantastic. Wow. Thank you. If someone was looking for a video marketer, what would you recommend they look for?
I would highly recommend looking for a company that's not just going to create good looking videos, but is going to create videos with an idea in mind of how they're going to be utilized and how they're going to give you a good ROI. if you're a business and you're trying to invest in marketing, there's no point in doing that if you're not going to get a return on your investment. So again, a lot of businesses, they're just like, we need video. They go to hire a company. Hey, how much would you charge for this type of video? Oh, we charge this much. Okay, cool. They make the video and then they give them the video and then they don't do anything with it. What's the point? So again, our process is we don't even give pricing until we've had a conversation with the business, because I don't really know what you want. I don't really know what it's going to take to create this video. If I don't even know what the video is that we're creating, you can't just say, how much is a 30-second video? Like, 30 seconds of what? Oh, we're just going to record this process. But it's not that simple. So being able to learn about the business, learn how they're going to utilize it, and being able to help them effectively implement it is extremely important. So I would say if you do reach out to a video company and they're just like, oh yeah, I'll be this much for this type of video, probably not the best company to go with. But if they want to dive a little deeper into, okay, why do you want to create this video? Okay, they're on the right track and are looking to actually help you and not just make a buck.
As of now, which could always change in the future, when someone's trying to figure out what video they need and how to use it, do you charge for that initial chat?
As of now, I don't. Main purpose of that is because I want to be able to get in that door and be able to show them what it is that they could do. It's not really a hard sell after that point, honestly. My job is not to sell people on something that they don't need. It's to sell them on understanding that they do need it. It's very, once they can see the process of, okay, this is where I'm at, this is where I'm trying to get, and here's a very specific, laid out, repeatable, provable plan of how to get there, and I'm able mm-hmm. to show that to people and they can see that and understand it, it's not really a hard sell at that point. So yeah, I do the, and I have consultations where I explain the process or whatever, and maybe it's out of people's budget or whatever. Sometimes I'll then recommend them to someone who's cheaper, and I'll let them know, you know, that this person's cheaper. They're cheaper for a reason, but if that's more within your budget, you can do that. But I always like being able to have that conversation and helping people, and even being able to get into their head about it. Cause I've had sometimes even where I've had a conversation with someone, we get a really good idea for what they're doing for their business, and then they can't afford it right now, but then a year later they can, and we work on that, and it's great. So yeah, currently I don't charge for that consultation. If somebody wants to, we can have a free half hour consultation. That's just the initial conversation. And then we mm-hmm. dive, once they do hire me, we dive a lot deeper into specifics of how we're going
to create it. Because you're delivering so much value in what you're saying, I want to make sure the audience knew that, no, this is an initial discovery call to make sure that they understand the value and yeah. see the vision, but also you tie it to reality, be like, yeah, this is a beautiful video that you're going to feel great about, but this is the way it's going to make you money if you're a business yeah. owner.
Exactly.
Or,
so, I typically do a two meeting process. So the initial meeting is about half an hour to an hour, depending on the person and how they speak. But that's information gathering about their business, what they're currently doing, stuff like that. From that, I then create the plan of, here's how we can help you. I present that to them in a second meeting, again, in a way that's easy to understand, but it takes a little bit to actually be able to present that to people and help them understand it. We use video examples. We show metrics and stuff like that to be able to show them how all that works. And then after that point, if they do actually sign on with us, then we dive a lot deeper again to make sure that what we're creating is as accurate as possible. I don't want to, again, you can't learn everything about a business in half an hour to an hour. That's more just getting the initial concept ready. If I were to be doing my full deep dives, like from the get-go and creating a plan from that, yes, I would definitely charge for that. But that's part of the process once they're under contract.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So who would be your ideal client to work with?
Yeah, as I said, small to medium-sized businesses, largely in the construction space. So whether it's home builders, home remodelers, roofing companies, deck building companies, things of that nature, those are our bread and butter. But we've also worked with a lot of professional services as well. It's like we've done work for a few chiropractors, stuff like that as well. So it's pretty much anything that people need to feel like they can trust the owners of this business, whatever that reason may be. Those are really good selling points. So like the construction side is cool because you get to see the cool before and after of this awesome visual representation. But then the other side, on the professional services side, especially for a chiropractor, like this is someone who's putting their hands on you. You have to be like, not only does the person know what they're doing, but you feel like you could trust them. You feel like they have your best interest at heart. So being able to create, or even like you for a lawyer, right? What you do is very involved, where people would definitely feel like they have to trust you to be able to share the information that they have to share with you and be able to work with you the way they do. So being able to have that sort of initial selling point of, before someone even speaks with you, they almost feel like they know you because they saw a video of you talking with them in a way that sounds like you're just talking to anybody about your business, and they can hear your passion for what you do and your passion for your clients through the video in a way that they wouldn't be able to do if they just read a bio on your website or something like that. So being able to create that like initial point of contact to where they're almost sold before they even actually speak with you. And then when they do speak with you, they feel familiar with you because they've seen you and heard you before is just, that's a great selling point.
I thought of an analogy that may not work at all, but it's like during COVID when we were doing everything via Zoom. And then after it was over, however you want to define that, like you started meeting people in person and you felt like you knew them better than you did because, oh, we talked on video all these times. And you had to step back and be like, oh, yeah, I really don't know you that well, but I feel like I do because we chatted on Zoom a couple of days or whatnot. Sounds like it really connects at that level if done right.
And it helps with that initial touch point being more comfortable. And again, not feeling like they're just coming in just to be sold to, but like they're coming into this person that they almost feel like they know. They feel like they understand your heart and understand your intention. And coming in with that mindset, it's a lot easier to work with those types of people than people who are just like, I just need this thing and don't even bother to watch a video or anything like that. It's a great initial connection point for people for sure.
Yeah. So, who are some of your best referral sources?
Best referral sources, definitely media companies. It's very common that media companies will offer website design, SEO, social media marketing services, sometimes even also photography. It's actually pretty rare that they offer video. Or if they do, they contract it out. So if that's the case, I can either help a media company get started up with that in terms of being able to set that up for themselves, or if they want to contract it out to me and I offer my services to them where I handle their entire video end, that's something I can do as well. So yeah, media companies are huge for me because like they have companies that they're already working with that they're helping them with the marketing. And then it also helps me with what we were talking about earlier with that relationship of I'm not necessarily establishing all these new relationships with new media companies and stuff like that, but I already have that relationship with the media company to where working with them, handing off the video to them, I can trust that it's going to be utilized properly. So that I would say that would be the number one referral source for me.
And if people are interested in your services, how can they find you?
Yeah. So the best way would be blueeyedvisuals.com. Don't forget the two E's in blue-eyed. So blueeyedvisuals.com, we have a lot of our work on there. So you could see the different types of videos we create and how they work for different companies. You could schedule that initial consultation that is free that we talked about, the initial half hour consultation of us to get to know your business and stuff like that. But then also we're on different social medias, primarily active on Facebook and LinkedIn. You could connect with me directly on both of those as well. I love connecting with people and even just, again, not even just in a business sense of trying to sell people, but like I said, I really like meeting and getting to know new people and being able to help people as well. I feel like I'm a good referral source for other people as well. I do a lot of networking and I like to be able to help people that I like. Yeah, if anyone wants to connect with me on Facebook or LinkedIn, that'd be the place to do it.
And we'll put links in the show notes of all this stuff. If you're listening to this in the car or anything, you don't have a minute, you can just go to the show notes to find that. So thank you so much, Ben. And thank you all for listening. This has been a Legacy Leaders podcast. I'm your guest host, attorney Adam Diamond. And my guest today was Benjamin DeLauder with Blue Eyed Visuals. Like I said, for more information on Benjamin and the work he does, feel free to visit his website at, go ahead, Ben.
BlueEyedVisuals.com.
BlueEyedVisuals.com. Don't forget the two E's in there because we all have two I. No, oh, that's confusing. All right. So, anyway, I won't quit my day job of being a lawyer. So, Ben, thank you again for the awesome sharing all these great stories and tips. And thank everybody for joining us on another episode of the Legacy Leaders Network.
You've been listening to the Legacy Leaders Podcast with Katie Beth Hand and Stan Miller. For more information on them and the show, please visit pinnaclelegacylaw.com. If you like what you've learned today, do share the program with your friends and subscribe wherever podcasts are found.